Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. So I was tempted to start off our sermon this morning with lyrics from The Temptations. But since this title of my sermon is Temptations Are Resistible, I resist it. And instead, I want to share with you something I read about a 2020 episode which aired sometime back, in which children of about 4 years of age were forced to deal with an ancient scourge of temptation. They were left alone in a room. Sitting in front of them on a table were three M&Ms. They were told that they could have a whole bag of M&Ms if they could wait 5 minutes for a bell to ring before eating the M&Ms that were before them. The struggle of temptation was recorded through a two-way mirror. The result was hilarious, according to the article, as these poor kids twitched and fidgeted, wiggled, twisted up their faces, and tried not to grab out and reach the M&Ms that were before them. About half of it made it. The other half said, "To heck with it. I want what I want when I want it." We all know about that struggle. Maybe not for M&Ms, but all of us have our weak spot. Even Jesus had to struggle with the tempter. After his baptism, we're told by Luke, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led into the wilderness by that Spirit, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Note this. Jesus had just come off a spiritual high. He'd just been baptized by John the Baptist. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the tempter came. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days the devil tempted him repeatedly. Jesus had eaten nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was pretty hungry. This, of course, would make him vulnerable. A physical need needed to be met. And so the devil took advantage and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." It was a reasonable response to Jesus' hunger. Jesus had the power over nature. This we know from the miracles he performed. He could still storms. Stones were there abundant in the wilderness. Jesus could have used his extraordinary gifts to meet his physical needs. But Jesus knew that was not what he should do. Jesus' gifts were to be used to do the work of his Father. So Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." So don't play semantics. Men, women, anybody can't live on bread alone. That's true, isn't it? Many people today have their physical needs met, but they're still shriveling and dying on the inside. Physical needs have an urgency, but spiritual needs are every bit as critical. Having failed to tempt Jesus with this attempt, the stone into bread, the devil takes a different tack. He leads Jesus up to a high place and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. This was way before social media and TV. The devil says to him, "I will give you authority and splendor, because it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you just worship me, all of this will be yours." Who could resist being handed the power and the status that would come with ruling over all the kingdoms of the world? It's every politician's dream, isn't it? You have to wonder how many politicians have been willing to bow down before Satan in order to achieve such dreams. Jesus was offered all kingdoms of this world. All he had to do was bow down to the devil. But Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil thinks to himself, "Rats, foiled again." But the devil has yet one more weapon in his arsenal. The devil leads him to Jerusalem and has him stand on the highest point of the temple. The devil says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will surely lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Without hesitation, Jesus answers, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You do understand, don't you, that this is exactly what Satan was doing. He was testing Jesus. That's what temptation is. It's a test. Jesus passed his test with flying colors. Then we note Luke's words, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Satan wasn't finished with Jesus. None of us ever gets to the point where we are beyond being tested. In Mel Gibson's very controversial film, The Passion of the Christ, we see the nature of the tempter quite vividly. This isn't a scene from the Bible. It's a fictional account, but it is quite powerful. Jesus is shown at Gethsemane, agonizing over his betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion. A shadowy figure appears in the movie. No one was meant to save this many lives. No one can. It's too much for you. You cannot do it. That's what the presence says to Jesus in this film. The presence whispers these words over and over, trying to split Jesus from God. Finally, Jesus gets up. He steps on the head of a snake. The tempter has dropped near him, and Jesus goes off. The tempter is unable to turn Jesus from his destiny, from his calling. There are some things about temptation I think we need to see. The first is this. Temptation is universal. We joke about temptation because it's part of the human condition. Everyone has to deal with temptation. An unknown wit once said, most people who fly from temptation usually leave a forwarding address. Opportunity only knocks once, someone else noted, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Peter Gomes, a popular author and the one-time pastor at Harvard's Memorial Church, once stated that temptation is the single greatest source of human anxiety. That is quite a dramatic statement. He further stated that in the thousands of people with whom he had counseled over the years of his ministry, he had found the problem of temptation to be at the heart of their personal anxiety. Temptation is real for everyone. Here's the second thing we need to see. With God's help, temptation is resistible. The biggest lie that the tempter tells us is that we are helpless when faced with temptation. We do not have the strength that Christ had to resist temptation. That is for sure. But we can do it. Although sometimes we do need help. As an example, the genius of Alcoholics Anonymous is this, in fact. They are there for each other in times of temptation. Many times in the middle of the night, a member of this group will be called to sit with a buddy, help him fight the cravings that would otherwise destroy him. Members of Alcoholics Anonymous also know what it's like to rely on God. They know that the key to turning their lives around is admitting their weakness, admitting that they were and are and always will be powerless over alcohol. But they believe that a power greater than themselves can restore them to a different sanity. So they make a decision to turn their will and their lives over to the care of God. No one really knows how many lives have been saved by this organization. Hundreds of thousands? Millions? How many families have been saved? How many potentially abused children have been spared? How many battered spouses? No one will contend that any temptation can be resisted without a terrible struggle. But if you're willing to reach out to a friend, and if you're willing to throw yourself in complete surrender on the grace of God, the tempter can be resisted. Of course, the ultimate key to lessening temptation's hold on your life is to love God with all your heart and with all your mind. I read about a man who had a dog when he was a boy. This was an unusually obedient dog. Periodically, his father would test the dog's obedience. He would place a tempting piece of meat on the floor. Then he would turn to the dog and give the command, no. The dog, which must have had a strong urge to go for that piece of meat, was placed in a most difficult situation: to obey or disobey. Duncan said, the dog never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel that if he did, the temptation to disobey would be too great. So he looked steadily at his master, the young man's father. Duncan then made this spiritual application. There is a lesson for us all. Always look up to the master's face. Always to the master's face. Temptation is universal, my friends. And some temptations are deadly if they're not reined in. But with God's help, and sometimes with the help of a really close friend, temptations are resistible. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.